Father, we thank you so much. We bless you tonight. Through the Lord Jesus, you've given us a cornerstone. You've made us the weak who through him we're strong. Father, you've freed us from a devil's hell. We're so glad to be saved tonight. So glad to be translated into the kingdom of your dear son. So glad to be covered by the blood of the Lamb with our names written in the Lamb's book of life with eternity already settled. So glad about it. Father, as we approach the mighty word tonight, we know that your word is endued with power. Your word is no dusty book, no dead book, no ordinary book. Your word is alive. Your words are spirit and they are life. Your word is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. Your word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. We know your word is dripping with anointing. And as we approach your mighty word tonight, we do so with a reverence for the power that's in the word. The word sets the captives free. The word breaks shackles. The word straightens out wrong thinking. The word can save those who are lost. The word heals the sick. The word delivers those in bondage. Your word will accomplish everything you send it to do tonight. As we hear the mighty word tonight, we're not going to be passive listeners. No, Father. We'll be active listeners. Active listeners. Father, actively listening to the word of God. Mixing your mighty word with faith. Mixing the word with faith. Oh, because then we know that the word will prevail. The word will accomplish everything that you sent it to do. And so we thank you for the mighty word. We stand in reverence at your word. And we ask you to speak to everybody here, everyone assembled here. Speak to every individual. Speak to every person. Speak to every couple. Speak to every child, every young folk. Speak to everybody listening, whatever venue they're using to listen to this message. Speak to hearts in this place. Father, we pray our words would penetrate flesh and Father would penetrate to hearts. Oh, have your way in this place. Deal with your people. Help your people. We are all your sheep. This is your pasture. Then, Father God, we thank you for all that shall be wrought and accomplished in our midst. We thank you for unction and utterance. We thank you for our pastors, as has been prayed. We thank you for Pastor Mrs. Hagen, all those who are with them. Ask you to continue to bless them. So, Father, we'll give you all the glory and the honor and the praise as we look to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you agree with that, you can have your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. We serve a good God. Praise God. New wonders. He always has new wonders to perform. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, as I start tonight, the title of this message is Dealing with Pressure. Dealing with pressure. Look at somebody and say that to them. Dealing with pressure. Look at somebody else and tell them, God wants you to know how to deal with pressure. Yeah. I'm reminded of a story. The year had to be 1968 or 69. We were living down at the Jersey Shore. And I never forget the little Cape Cod house that my family lived in. We lived in Red Bank, New Jersey, and it was right down there at the Jersey Shore. And I remember this scene so well. I was just a young boy, but I can remember it so well because my mom and dad, they weren't getting along so swift that day. And my dad had a taste for something called pork chitterlings. How many of you know what chitterlings are? How many of you know what chitlins are? Well, most time, you know, if you go to the black community, you ain't going to hear no chitterlings. You'll hear chitlins, you know. But it's actually pronounced chitterlings, but black folks say chitlin. Anyway, so my dad, he wanted that. And so my mom, they weren't getting along too well. And so my mom wanted him to make it. And back then they'd make it in a big steel pressure cooker. One of them old school, old time, real heavy steel. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Pressure cooker. Yeah. And you put those chitterlings in there. I don't know how far, you know. But anyway, so my dad did it. My mom was telling him, you're not doing it right, but he wasn't listening to her. She always called him Ray. She said, Ray, that's not in there right. And he said, I know what I'm doing. And she said, that lid is not on that pressure cooker right. And I heard him say, woman, I know what I'm doing. And that pressure cooker started whistling. And my sister, I got three sisters. My oldest sister, Darlene. And it's funny, you know, when we're together, when my sisters and I are together, that story always comes up. Because we all have our own unique perspective about that story. That story shaped our life. The rest of our lives was indelibly shaped by what happened next. My older sister, Darlene, she always says, well, my girlfriend Charmaine was spending the night that night. And we and Charmaine, we were up in my room having a good time when that pressure cooker went off. Because after finish, we heard a big kaboom. Sounded like a shotgun blast. And we all ran to the kitchen. And oh my goodness. There was pork chitterlings. There was chitlins all over the place. And my mama said, I told you so, I ain't cleaning a thing. And my dad said, come on, kids. We're thinking, oh, Lord. No, please, don't take us to the chitlins. And they smell. You know, if you've ever smelled chitlins, man, those things smell. I decided right then that night, there was nothing. See, I'd never eaten. I never wanted any chitlins. And when my family ate that, I didn't want none of that. I decided right then that night, there ain't nothing about a pork chitterling that I'm going to ever want. That just settled the issue for me. But I mean, they were everywhere. That pressure cooker blew those chitlins everywhere. And so began the long process of cleaning up. And my older sister says, Charmaine said, Darlene, I can't take the smell. I'm going home. I know I'm supposed to spend the night, but I'm going back to my house. And my older sister said, I'm going with you. I never wanted to go with two girls so bad in all my life. Don't leave us. Don't leave us. Ooh, we never forgot that. I don't know how long it took. Because, see, then you don't get them. Those things hard. Let me just go on anyway. You get the picture.
Did you clean it all by yourself?
No. My sisters and my dad helped. And it took us more than a week. And then the kitchen had to be redone and repainted. And it was a mess. As I say, there was nothing about a pork chitterling. It was indelibly stamped on my mind. Jesus could come back before I'm going to ever want that, before I'm ever desire that. I know some people love him. I know I ain't got no problem with you. I know you love him. You probably love him. Life sometimes can be like that pressure cooker. And we can all know what it's like occasionally to be put inside a pressure cooker when things aren't easy, when decisions are very tough to make. And when life comes at you faster in a different direction than maybe you expected. And you can find the pressure can be on. And the pressure, life can take you through some scenarios that can make pressure almost too unbearable to take sometimes. And people sometimes get sideways with the Lord when pressure comes, because pressure is going to push you. When pressure hits you, my brother and sister, the pressure of life, the pressure of circumstance, when pressure hits you, pressure is going to push you. There ain't no question about that. Pressure will push you. The only question is, which way are you going to let it push you? You and I, we get to determine which direction we go. When pressure comes, you can let pressure push you away from Christ. Or you can determine, no, I'm going to let that pressure push me closer to the Lord. When pressure comes to some people, they back off of everything. They drop all their commitments. I ain't going to Bible study. I ain't going to link group. I ain't going to Sunday night service. I ain't going to Wednesday. I may not go to Sunday morning. I ain't doing this. They start backing up on all their commitments when pressure hits. And sometimes when pressure comes, people find themselves challenging God's very faithfulness to them. Questioning, Lord, have you been faithful? You remember when Jesus was he was on the way to Mary and Martha after Lazarus died. And while he was on the way, when Mary ran out to him and Martha ran out to him, they had the same question for Jesus. You can tell that day they didn't want a lot of small talk, a lot of casual greeting. They had a question for him. And their question stood at the very core of his faithfulness. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And sometimes when pressure comes, people feel like that. If you had been here, if you had been watching over me, I wouldn't have lost my job. If you had been there, Lord, if you had been watching over me, I wouldn't have got sick like that. Lord, if you had been there for me, that wouldn't have happened. This wouldn't have happened. And you can find yourself, if you're not careful, letting the pressure of life push you away from God. And anytime you start questioning his faithfulness, start questioning his goodness, start questioning his love and his mercy, I tell you that you'll know, anytime you start questioning that, you'll know that pressure is pushing you away from God. And when you get into life's pressure cooker, my brother and sister, that is the time to remind yourself that God, he's always a good God. He's not a part-time good God. He is a full-time, all-time good God to you. I wish I had an amen in here. You need to remind yourself that God is there when it doesn't seem like he is. When you are feeling lonely and when you are feeling blue, that is the time to remind yourself, it doesn't matter what I feel. It doesn't matter what I'm feeling. The only thing that matters is the truth about who God is. Amen. Hebrews 13, he said, I will never, ever, 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 ever leave you or forsake you. The Bible said that father and mother may forsake you, but then the Lord will take you up. The Bible said he's a friend that sticks close, I wish I had an amen in here, closer than a brother. Everywhere you look, there's pressure. I was watching Wimbledon tennis, the women's tennis final yesterday. And Serena Williams, she won her 22nd title, major title, 22nd major title. And they asked her when they interviewed her later, were you thinking about it? And she said, it was hard. It was hard not to think about it. There's a picture of Serena there. That's what she looked like when she was playing yesterday. But when she won, this is what she looked like. Can we show the next picture? She just fell out. She won the match, and instead of going over to shake hands, she just fell backwards onto the tennis court. You know why? The pressure was off. She felt so much pressure that when the match was over, it was easier just to fall over onto the court rather than to walk. She did get up and go shake hands. But she just, pow, she plopped right over. And you could tell, she stayed down. She was glad. Why? The pressure was finally off. It was an indication of how much pressure she was under. She may have looked cool, calm, and collected, but she was under pressure. I have one more little short video. It's about Masters champion Jordan Spieth. It's this year's Masters Championship. It's the most prestigious tournament in the world. And Jordan won it. He's already won it. He's already a Masters champion. But he was in contention and leading with a huge lead on Sunday, which is the last day of the tournament, as he rounded nine. That is, he has nine more holes to play. It's the final part of the golf tournament. He had a five-stroke lead. He found himself in a pressure cooker on the 12th hole. Let's take a look.
Just let it release. Ooh. That's right. Oh. And that's water. And just like that, five shots gone. Goodness. Long's no good. Short's no good.
Oh, no. Oh, my word. He's chunked it. He has chunked it. And Jordan Spieth is sinking. Without trace of the Masters, this is extraordinary. From a player who has been so composed, so in control, two in the water. And now what is going through his mind? He is tumbling down this leaderboard.
That's hard.
Shot number five. Gone long now. What is happening? What's going on? Well, a good shot there. This for a seven. Extraordinary. A seven on the 12th. He's far from done yet, but Jordan Spieth back to one under par, and now he is chasing.
Jordan was dominating the tournament. He wasn't leading by a little bit. He was leading by a lot. He had already won the Masters before. And it was absolutely devastating what happened to him on that 12th hole. He hit shots on that 12th hole he had not hit all year. He had made easy shots like that hundreds of times all year. It's just the easiest of shot. He's like 40, 50 yards away from the green. He could have done that any other day. Literally, he could have done that blindfolded. Pressure cooker. And if we're not careful, it can throw us off our game. Let's go to the Word. I have three people I want to look at in the time that we have remaining real quick. We're going to look at Saul. We're going to look at Elijah. We're going to look at David. For Saul, you should go to 1 Samuel. Go to 1 Samuel 13 while I'll quote from 1 Samuel 10. You go to 1 Samuel 13. You remember Saul, he was the first king of Israel. After God told Israel, don't get a king, don't ask me for a king, and after they kept asking for a king, God finally let them have what they kept asking for. And sometimes, my brother and sister, when we press and ask God for something that's not the right thing for us, you might find yourself with that, but you'd be in trouble with it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He told them, you don't need a king, I'm your king. They kept asking for a king, and when they finally got a king, the king is the first one who imposed taxes on them. The king was the one demanding their children go off to war. The king was the one usurping all their land. The king was the one, you know. So anyway, but so while you're there in 1 Samuel 13, after he became king, you know, in 1 Samuel 10, it says the Lord took Samuel took a flask of oil, anointed him with oil. Now, at verse 8, something very, very important happens. You stay right there, 1 Samuel. You're in 1 Samuel 13. I'm reading from 1 Samuel 10:8. The Lord told Samuel this. Go down to, or Samuel told Saul this, a very important instruction as king. He's a brand new king. God's given him his first instruction. Listen to what God tells him. 1 Samuel 10:8. Then go down to Gilgal ahead of me. I will join you there to sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings. You must wait 7 days until I arrive and give you further instructions. That's the message that he's given as the new king of Israel. Go to Gilgal. Wait 7 days for me. Wait till I get there to offer the sacrifices. The prophet was saying, I'm supposed to offer the sacrifices before the battle, according to the word of the Lord. So wait for me to give you further instructions. Don't do anything till I give you further instructions. All right? Now we're where you are, 1 Samuel 13, at verse 4. Soon after this, Jonathan attacked and defeated the garrison of the Philistines at Geba. The news spread quickly among the Philistines, so Saul blew the ram's horn throughout the land, saying, Hebrews, hear this, rise up and revolt. I'm reading the New Living Translation, by the way. Rise up and revolt. All Israel heard the news that Saul had destroyed the Philistine garrison at Geba, and that the Philistines now hated the Israelites more than ever. So the entire Israelite army was summoned to join Saul at Gilgal. Now remember what the Lord had told him. The Philistines mustered a mighty army of 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and as many warriors as the grains of sand on the seashore. And they camped at Michmash, east of Beth-Aven. The men of Israel saw, everybody say saw. The men of Israel saw what a tight spot they were in. And because they were hard pressed, everybody say hard pressed. By the enemy, they tried to hide in caves, thickets, rocks, holes, and cisterns. Some of them crossed the Jordan River and escaped into the land of Gad and Gilead. Meanwhile, Saul stayed at Gilgal, and his men were trembling with fear. Saul waited there. Listen now. Saul waited there 7 days for Samuel, as Samuel had instructed him earlier. But Samuel didn't come. And Saul realized his troops were rapidly slipping away. And so he demanded, bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Saul sacrificed the burnt offering himself. And just as Saul was finishing the burnt offering, Samuel arrived. And Samuel went out to meet and welcome him. Saul went out to meet and welcome him. But Samuel said, what is this you have done? And Saul replied, I saw my men scattering from me. And you didn't arrive when you said you would. And the Philistines are at Michmash ready for battle. And so I said, the Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal. And I haven't asked for the Lord's help. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering myself before you came. 13. How foolish, Samuel exclaimed. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God that he gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. And the Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people, because you have not kept the Lord's command. First thing to notice about that is the Lord told him, wait until I give you further instructions. Lord ever told you that? I know he said that to me at different times in my life. Do such and such and then wait. And Saul, he did wait the 7 days. But you remember what I quoted out of 1 Samuel 10, verse 8, when he was given the instruction. He said, wait till I get there. Wait till I give you further instruction. I'm going to offer that sacrifice. And that's the order the Lord had set. That's the order the Lord had wanted. And so he waited the 7 days. But then when Samuel didn't show, he started getting nervous. And the Bible said that the Philistines had gathered an army that you couldn't count. It was so big. The Bible just labeled it this way. Their army was as big as the sand on the seashore. And they were moving in ready for battle. Pressure cooker. And Saul did something that he never would have done had he not been under that pressure. He made a terrible career-limiting move. And he did that which the Lord told him not to do. He was to wait. He was to wait. He was to wait, and he didn't wait. And sometimes, my friend, we can get in trouble with the Lord when you stop waiting and you're supposed to be waiting. When the Lord told you, you stay in Tulsa until you get further instructions, and you're trying to slip out of Tulsa. When the Lord told you, you stay into that job until I give you further instructions, you're trying to get another job. You can't get no amen when you preach like that, but it's true anyway. When the Lord tells you something, and in your flesh, you don't want to do that. You think you know better. Anybody ever been there? It's just me. Okay, I'm talking to the right crowd. I got the right crowd. I had to check for a second. And he determined, look, I don't want to wait. I've got to move now. I'm under pressure. And sometimes you can be under such pressure. And sometimes even in a job situation, you can make critical, crucial, career limiting moves by being pressed and pressured into making decisions. When you look at what Saul did that cost him the kingdom, and the pressure to make good decisions can flat out. Somebody wants you to make a financial decision. They want you to make a financial decision. But you're not sure. You better excuse yourself and say, let me call you back. You better excuse yourself and go into the bathroom and get into the stall and pray in other tongues and pray to the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you. You better excuse yourself and say, hey, well, let me go check with my spouse. Wait, hold up. No, I'm not going to do it. Don't let anybody rush you into things. You'll make mistakes rushing. You got to be doing it now. You got to do it now. You got to do it now. You got to sign now. You got to sign there now. You got to do it now. You got to do it now. It's only going to be here today. Hey, if it's only going to be there today, let it go. God will bring you another blessing tomorrow. But you'll get in trouble making decisions without checking in with the Lord and being sure what he's telling you. And then waiting on his timing. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen there. Amen. Waiting on his timing. Because your flesh can get in the way of your decision. We got to go. Let's go to our second person. Let's go to the second person real quick. Elijah. Elijah has something to teach us tonight. What did we learn from King Saul, you said? We talked about the pressure. Being under pressure can keep you from making a good decision. Elijah, and here, if you go to 1 Kings 19, those first 8 verses of 1 Kings 19, if you know his story, you know that he had a great victory over Ahab. He had prayed that it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain. And then when he met Ahab and they had that big challenge on Mount Carmel, let the God who answers by fire, let him be God. And, you know, the Lord is the one who answered by fire. He had a great, great victory. He said this, he told the people, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him. And of course, the Lord proved that he was God. But in 1 Kings 19, verses 1 through 8, verse 3 says, he was afraid, arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I am not better than my father's. And he lay down and slept under a juniper tree. Found himself in a state of depression. And pressure can put you under such mental strain. You can find yourself not even thinking clear thoughts. You can find your muscles tightening and tightening up. Pressure. Now, you know, as we looked at Saul, what was critically important is where his eyes were. Saul, he saw the Philistines closing in on him, and he saw how many people they had. His eyes were in the wrong place. If his eyes had been on the Lord, he would have just waited for further instructions like the Lord told him. Saul, his eyes were in the wrong place. And you could make that case here for Elijah, but Elijah, really, his thoughts are in the wrong place. Brother Hagin always used to say, you know, the greatest enemy to the church is not the devil, it's wrong thinking and wrong believing. And let me tell you this, the thoughts that you and I allow into our mind are critically important. And you let the wrong thoughts in your mind, and you'll find yourself like Elijah under a juniper tree saying, just take me home, Lord, just take me home. And God had to come find Elijah. He said, what are you doing here? He fed him and got him out from under that juniper tree, anointed him, and then he outran a chariot. But if you're not careful, pressure can get a hold of your mind. And you start thinking goofy thoughts. Pressure can get a hold of your eyes. You start looking at the enemy or looking at the wrong thing, or you take your eyes off the Lord. Remember when Peter did that? He sank. When you start taking your eyes off the Lord, pressure will get to you. You start thinking the wrong thoughts. If we get out, and that's why the Bible tells you and I, meditate in the word. When? Day and night. Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1:2. Meditate in the word day and night. Why? Because then the mighty word of God will be in our thoughts and in our hearts. Pressure won't get to us. Finally tonight, David. David. Through Saul, of course, we saw, look, pressure can affect your decisions, can keep you from making a good decision if you're not careful. With Elijah, we saw, look, the pressure to quit, the pressure to give up, the pressure to throw in the towel, those wrong thoughts will get you thinking you should quit, you should give up. But here with David, we see pressure used in a different way, not in a negative way. Pressure is used in a way that to overcome. Over in 1 Samuel 17, 4 through 11, it talks about how big and bad Goliath was, how tall he was, how big the shaft of his spear was, his bronze javelin right down to his armor bearer, and it just tells you how big and bad Goliath was. But in 1 Samuel 17, down at verse 44, we get our final clue for tonight's sermon. It's the power of what's in your mouth. If you let pressure push you the wrong way, you'll get your eyes looking at the wrong thing. You'll get your mind thinking the wrong thoughts, and you'll get your mouth speaking the wrong thing. Here, David didn't do that. He had his eyes on the Lord. He had his thoughts on the Lord, and he had his mouth in tune with the Lord. 1 Samuel 17:44, the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands. I will strike you down, remove your head from you. I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, but the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David had his mouth hooked up with his spirit and his spirit hooked up with God. And he, in the midst of having just stones, just rocks, facing a formidable, insurmountable giant with a few rocks. But he had the stone, the rock of Scripture coming out of his mouth. What I read to you was not David being arrogant and cocky and self-sufficient. What I read to you is the result of David's eyes on the Lord, his thoughts on the Lord, and his mouth hooked up with God's word. In spite of his circumstance, he had the word of God coming out of his mouth as he faced his giant. I don't know what you have to face, my brother and sister. I don't know what that pressure cooker offers you. But I know it's critically important where your eyes are. Get your eyes on your enemy, on your problem, you'll fail. I don't know about you, my brother and sister. I don't know where your thoughts are, but get your thoughts off of your God. Get your thoughts off of what he has said. You'll fail. Get your mouth away from the word. Get your mouth away from the authority of Scripture. You'll fail. Because it is through the authority of Scripture. It is through the mighty word of God. It is through the Holy Ghost. It is through his mighty power. It is through our redemptive realities that Christ has already won, that we already have the victory. Why should you and I forfeit something we already have? But what we do with our eyes is critically important. See your problem, you'll fail. See your answer, you'll succeed. What we do with our mind is critically important. Keep the word in our mind day and night. We'll succeed. We'll overcome. We'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water whose leaf doesn't wither. Whatever we do, we'll prosper. Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3. Amen. What's coming out of our mouth as you face your pressure? It's critically important. But if we'll let our eyes be hooked up and let our thoughts be conformed, Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3. Oh, man. And get our mouth in line with the word of God, especially when we're hurting, especially when we're going through adversity, especially when you feel you're in life's pressure cooker. For somebody in here, you need to get your eyes back on the Lord. You've let your adversity, you let that pressure cooker get you all out of whack. Listen, you need to get your eyes back on the Lord. Somebody in here, you need to get your mind back on the Lord. Somebody in here, listen, you need to get your mouth lined up with the word again. Stop letting all that stuff come out of your mouth. You burning down your own situation. You burning your own tent down. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. We get to decide. Let me tell you this. I'm concluding. Let me tell you this. Listen, remember this. The pressure you're facing right now is only temporary. I'm going to give you some scripture. I'm going to give you five scriptures. Just write them down. You can look them up later, just proving what I'm saying. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I said your pressure is only temporary. Secondly, remember this. His grace is sufficient for you no matter what you're going through. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Somebody said, what was the first scripture? 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Your pressure is only temporary. What are you talking about now? His grace is sufficient for you. No matter what you're going through, his grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Paul said, I take pleasure in weakness, insults, catastrophes, persecutions, and pressures because of Christ. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Yeah. Next, listen. God knows how much you can bear. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation will provide the way of escape so that you'll be able to endure it. You're going through a temptation. God's not tempting you. The devil does that. But God will give you the strength to overcome it, and God will give you the way of escape. If you'll keep your eyes on him, your thoughts on him, and your mouth hooked up with his word. I should have a bigger amen than that. Listen, next, you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. Philippians 4:13 says Christ will give you the strength. You can do all things. Remember, you're in a pressure cooker. Remember, you can do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Philippians 4:13. And finally, don't forget to count it all joy when you face pressure. Don't forget to count it all joy. James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Bow your heads and let's have a word of prayer. You're in here and you say, brother, I can relate to some part or all of what you're saying. I'm going through a pressure cooker situation right now. Every head's bowed. Let me see your hands. You say, I'm going through a pressure. I'm in a pressure cooker, just like you was talking about. Yes, it's just all over. Yes. All over. Okay, put your hands down. Yeah. Say, I'm in a pressure cooker. And God wants you to make the right decision. And the thing about it is, the Lord's trying to help you. And you may need to get your eyes and your thoughts and your words back lined up with him. And somebody says, I need to repent because I let my eyes dwell on the wrong thing. I've been looking at the wrong, I've been looking at the problem, I've been looking at the enemy's thing, I've been looking at the wrong thing and what's facing me, the problem against me. I'm looking at that instead of looking at all that I already have. And I know I need to repent. I haven't handled it right. I haven't been looking at the right thing. Haven't been thinking the right thing. Haven't had the right things coming out of my mouth. Every head's bowed. Let me see your hand, though. You say, I want to go on record. I want to repent. I didn't handle it right. I haven't handled it right. Yes, 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 yes. Praise God. Yeah. Just make that right. Just, you know, right there at your seat. You talk to your father about it. Just go ahead and make it right. Just tell him. Just tell him, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to get my eyes back on you. Oh, yeah. It means you're going to have to cast certain thoughts down, and you're going to have to put your eyes in the book day and night. That's how you get his perspective. You say, Lord, I'm going to change my thinking. I'm going to change my thinking on that. I'm going to stop seeing myself defeated. I'm going to stop seeing myself defeated, overcome by that situation, overcome by that giant. I'm going to change my words, what I'm saying. Yeah, just make it right with him. But for somebody, your problem, you have that problem, but you have a deeper problem than that. Because you're not living right. You're not living for Christ. Maybe you've never made that commitment to him. And you'd like to tonight. Or maybe you've already made that commitment, but you just haven't honored it the way you should. You haven't been living for Christ. You've been doing your own thing, calling your own shots. You're under a pressure cooker. There's only one way out of that. You've got to repent. Jesus said this, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. And listen, the thing is, he will welcome you. He's welcoming you with open arms. Something's happening in your heart right now. Something's happening to you. Something's going on in your heart. And I tell you what it is. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. He wants you to receive his forgiveness. He wants you to admit you've gone away from him. You've gone your own way. And he wants you to turn around and come back to Christ. He's trying to help you. Every head's bowed in here, but let me see your hand. You say, the Lord's talking to me. I need to get my life right with him. I need to make it right. Let me see your hand here. I want you to pray for me. Yeah, I see you. Yeah. I got to make it right. I got to make it right. I know I haven't been living the way I should. See, God sees you. God knows you. Don't just turn around and leave and deny his help. He wants to help you tonight. He wants his mighty power and love and forgiveness to overshadow you. But if you just turn around and walk out, you're telling him no. Let me see your hand. Pray for me. I need to make it right. I know I'm not living right. I either need to make that commitment to Christ or I need to remake that commitment to Christ. I want you to do something bold and daring. But I can promise you, God's going to meet you in a wonderful way. Your hand was up. I want you to just boldly stand up on your feet. Just stand right where you are. Just stand up on your feet. God's trying to help you. Just stand up right where you are. Just right where you are. I want you to come down here and let me pray for you. Come down here. God's going to help you. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Come down here. Let God help you. He's going to help you. Oh, man, he's going to help you. Bless you, man. God's going to help you. Come on down. You know, God sees your heart. Now, I can't see your heart, but God sees. You know something's happening in your heart right now. You know God's dealing with you. Don't just sit there when God's trying to help you. You know, he's, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. We're all just one family in Christ. We're all, nobody's going to condemn you. Nobody's going to be thinking bad about you. We're just one family. There's still somebody here. And you're letting your pride get in the way of your own relationship with Christ. And if you'll come down here, God's going to help you. He's going to strengthen you. God's going to bless you. He's going to touch you. If you'll let pride go, you've got to let pride go. Oh, but he'll help you if you'll do it. You who are down here, lift one hand to the Lord. I want you to pray this prayer after me. Father, to you I come. I surrender my heart. I surrender my will. I ask you to forgive me and take me in, to wash me and cleanse me like you promised, to make me the person you want me to be. And I will live for you the rest of my days. And I will proclaim your goodness throughout all generations. Thank you, Father. You're not a liar. And you said if I would ask you, that you would come in, that you would help me. So help me, Father. I need your help. I've been in that pressure cooker. Help me, touch me, Father. Change me in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I thank you. I thank you for touching each and every one. Oh, with your mighty power, every band is broken. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Every band is broken in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for your mighty power. Your mighty power is touching your people. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you. Thank you for your power to deliver, your power to save, your power to restore, your power to heal. Oh, oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Who of the four of you, who down here needs, you need healing? You need healing in your body. Who needs healing down here? Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for your mighty healing power. You said believers would lay hands on the sick. They would recover. Thank you for your mighty healing unction and power to deliver that which the enemy has wrought and to cause a great deliverance in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Life is going to be so different. Life is going to be so different for you. Listen, this is Brother Paul right here, and he's going to take you to a place of prayer, give you free materials, answer questions, and somebody here needs the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but if you ask Paul, he's going to help you with that. And listen, ask him any question that you want. He and the prayer team back there, they're anointed people, and they're going to answer your questions. They're not going to keep you all night, just going to keep you a little bit and answer questions and give you free material. I want you to go with Paul right now. Come on, let's love on them, church family. Hey, God bless you. Let's love on them right now. God bless you, sir. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Point one hand toward them. Don't you love them? Don't you love them? Aren't you glad? You remember when you walked the aisle? Can you remember when you walked the aisle with somebody praying for you? Father, thank you for them. Thank you for them. Oh, may your mighty power, may your endowment of power drop on them in the name of Jesus. Father, may they be touched. Oh, delivered. And Father, may your mighty, mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost, Father, fall on them in the name of Jesus. We'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then there was one. There's still somebody in here, and God's got his eyes on you. If you yield to him, he can help you. But if you selfishly turn away from him, oh man, don't do it. Lift one hand to the Lord. Father, you've been so good. We thank you and bless you as we prepare to go. We just give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we pray for that individual or individuals that you're dealing with. Father, that you'll melt their heart. Oh, melt their heart. Melt it in Jesus' name. God needs your will. Your will is very important. All right, you came tonight. It's your first time with us. It's your first time visiting with us at Rama Bible Church. Let me see your hand. It was your first time tonight. You came. We have a great gift for you. It's the reason I'm asking to see your hand. We want to give you that gift now. Several people. Okay. All right. Well, listen, we want to give you a good gift. And if you would, let the Connection team members who originally approached you and welcomed you tonight, let them take you to that place just for a moment to give you a great gift. You'll be glad you got the gift, and you'll be blessed and say, wow, they gave me a gift like that just for coming? So don't miss that. So Connection team members, go ahead and take them now to that place and give them that gift. Let's thank them all for coming tonight. You be right here Wednesday, Hour of Power. If you didn't get Pastor's message this morning, make sure you get that message, and then be here Wednesday, Hour of Power. Pray for that team coming back from Oklahoma City. Let's pray for their safety tonight. And did I miss anything? Everything, we're good? All right. Well, God bless you. We'll see you next time. God bless you.